I'm going to ask you to turn with me to the Gospel of Romans, chapter number 3. Romans, chapter number 3. On a Wednesday night, I did a lesson with children, and I've kind of expanded upon that because I think it goes beyond the thinking and the logic of children sometimes, even to adults in this culture in which we live. There's a lot of confusion in the idea that somehow
one point in their life they may have done more good, and if they was to die at that point, in their estimation, they'd go to heaven. But now Jesus come and took them when they were doing bad, and when they get to heaven, they're probably, or when they stand before Him, they're going to get cast into hell, depending on where they're at that particular time. And so I want to just make it very clear what the Bible says in Romans 3:23. The Bible says, "For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God." A double all have sinned, come short of the glory of God. Let us pray. Father, we thank You for the Word of God. We celebrate this year and every year around the end of December the incarnation of Jesus Christ, our Savior. Thankful, God, that He come veiled in human flesh. He might live a life of perfection, live a life that would die on an old rugged cross in my steed, and I pray that You would just help us tonight to lift Him up. You said if He be lifted up, all men would be drawn unto You. God, I'm thankful for the cross. I'm thankful, God, for a risen Savior. And I'm thankful for a coming King. Lord, we praise You tonight for Your goodness, allowing us to be here. God, help us always be taken in by the wonder of Christmas. In Jesus' name, amen. You probably heard the song, "Santa Claus is coming to town. You better watch out. You better not cry. You better not pout. I'm telling you why. Because Santa Claus is coming to town." They used to sing it all the time when I was a little kid. And I'm sure that the kids probably sing that still yet today. And you hear that song. Now, what's it make you think? He's making a list. He's checking it twice. He's going to find out who's naughty or nice. Now, that song put terror in my heart as a little child. All right? Some of you here, you probably thought so too, because they'd sing that song. You know what I was scared of? I was scared of goodness. I wasn't so good last week. Really wasn't too good the week before that. Now, a few weeks ago, I did do a few nice things. I did do the dishes once. And so, you start trying to add it up and figure it out, all right? You start trying to get together, and you start thinking, am I on the good list or the bad list? Am I on the nice list or am I on the naughty list? And I used to really worry about that as a kid. I don't know why parents tell such a thing. I remember when I stayed with my aunt and uncle, they had a little door, a little half door that went up into the attic, and they put us in bed. It was in the back of the house. It was always cold and dark. And they say, if you all get out of the bed, the boogeyman's going to come and get you. Right down them stairs. He lives right up there. He's coming down and getting you. And I didn't come get out of bed till they come got me out of bed the next day. Okay? I was scared to death. Now, the whole thing with the naughty or nice list can worry a young boy. But you know what? Kids, you don't have to worry about that anymore. With computers and iPhones, you can go to Santa's website at www.claus.com. You can find out what list you're on tonight. So I thought about that, and I went to that website and checked a few people out, and I even checked myself out. I'm doing pretty good this year. It said, Brother Grant, he's nice. He's got a few naughty marks. It says, neatness needs improvement. Behavior has been good most of the time, not so good at other times. So it needs to be nicer when he's coaching and not leave his socks and shoes in the floor. So there's some things I need to work on. I can land up on the naughty list. I'm not careful. So when I was there, I thought I'd check out some other people. I thought surely I did better than them. I checked up on Brother Ricky, and I was a little bit embarrassed. I mean, not for Brother Ricky, but for my sake. He had like the nicest one that I could find. It said that he's on the nice list. As a matter of fact, one of the nicest years he'd ever had. He's been helpful. He's helping his family, friends. He's being polite. He's extremely honest, has a good sense of humor. And, I mean, there wasn't nothing bad said about him. I was a little bit jealous, okay? Checked on a few other people, and you find Kyle. It said he's nice, but he's been naughty at times. It said neatness and politeness have been very good over the last 2 weeks. He shows proper respect for others, shares well, but can always be better. The only thing it really said bad about him said he needs to take a shower without being prompted by his mother. Okay? So, if you start doing that, you with a little more effort, Santa said you could be at the top of the list. All right? Now, I'll change this one up, Brandon, a little bit. Okay? We're dealing with kids and dealing with adults, so. But Santa said he's showing great improvements with manners. He just needs clipping his toenails in church. He's done a better job cleaning up his room and very helpful, and he's a good friend. And so that's really good. Now, Miss Beverly was on here too. And your husband might have influenced this one a little bit. But says that she's very, very nice. The only thing that could be better, she was a better back massager to her husband, allowing him to deer hunt more. Okay? Says she has a kind heart and sets a good example for others. Now, here's one I was interested in. It said Miss Betty. Okay? Says she's nice, but she needs to be good all year long, not just around Christmas time. And we know, if you're interested in where you're at, I just encourage you to go to www.claws.com. You can find all that good stuff. You've got to be an adult to go there. But anyway, you know what a lot of people think? I know that's kind of funny, but a lot of people think that Santa Claus is like God. A lot of people think that God operates the same way that the legend of Santa Claus operates. They think that somehow that God is sitting on His throne in heaven and He's looking down to see who's been naughty or nice. They think that one day when judgment comes, He's going to check His list. He's going to check it twice. And He's going to find out if their good works outweigh their bad. And if it does, they'll get to enter into the joys of heaven. But if not, they're going to be cast into the lake of fire. Now, I'm going to make about four observations, because what we perceive for Santa Claus often is what we perceive in regards to the God of heaven. And I want to say to you, the God of heaven doesn't operate the way Santa Claus operates. And I want to say to you, there's about four things I want to say. Number one, all are on God's naughty list. Every one of us starts out on God's naughty list. Do you realize that? The Bible says, for all have sinned. That's everybody that's in here tonight. But listen, it ain't you. You've not. Your sinning doesn't make you a sinner. You sin because you are a sinner. You're born with that nature. You're a sinner by nature, by choice, and by practice. You realize that a dog barks doesn't make it a dog. For that matter, I can bark, woof, woof, but I'm not going to go home and eat kibbles and bits. Okay? The truth of the matter is, a dog barks because it's in its nature to bark. A dog is a dog, and that's the reason it barks. If barking doesn't make it a dog, that's what a dog does. Listen, we don't sin, and that creates a sinner. It doesn't make us a sinner, but rather we sin because it's in our very nature to sin. That's what we do. We have rebelled against God. We've broken God's rules. The Bible says all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. There's none of us that deserves to be in God's book of life, or in God's nice list, as some people would like to call it, because of our good works. We've all come short. We've all guilty. The Bible says that it is written, there's none righteous, no, not one. The Bible makes it clear that our righteousness or our good living is as filthy rags with God. We will never measure up to the standard that will allow us into heaven. You realize that? That a world of good works, 10 lifetimes lived for God, will never atone for the sin that we have committed. Every person is guilty. Every person is guilty before God, deserving of judgment. The Bible says the wages and the cost of sin is death. Let me give you this number two. If all are on God's naughty list, number two, I want to be very clear, good works will never get you on God's nice list. Good works, it's just not happening. Titus 3:5 says, salvation is not by works of righteousness, which we've done, but it's according to His mercy He saved us. But it's not according to your works of righteousness. It's not because you helped some little old lady across the street. It's not because you've given to the Salvation Army every time you walked into Walmart. It's not because you've given to somebody standing at the square as you go through Lancaster, and I'm not opposed to that. And, if you want to do good deeds, that's fine. If you want to help the humane society, that's fine. I don't have a problem with that. If you want to save kittens and, and help dogs and all that kind of stuff, and you want to go on mission trips to help people with medical issues in a third world country, that's good, but you'll not get to heaven. Your good works, listen to me, will never get you on God's nice list. It's not going to happen. You see, here's how it works, Santa Claus. You're good. Listen, if you're being bad, Mom and Dad say, you better start being good. You're going to be on the naughty list. You know, so you think, well, I'll start being nice and I'll get back on that good list. I always want to do just enough to get me on there, but still bad enough to have a whole lot of fun. And that's the way a lot of people want to live their life as Christians. A lot of people say, I want to do just enough to get me into heaven, but I'm not interested in really getting serious about this thing. Listen, God don't operate that way. You see, we got this perception. I don't know why this come from, but I have an idea that that's because some people have the perception of God like this. That's why they've passed on these traits and these qualities and these attributes to God, to Santa Claus. Listen, it's a wrong perception. Good works will not get us there. Good works will not get us off the naughty list. Listen, Romans chapter 4 tells us something about Abraham. Number one, Romans 4 verses 1 through 5. I'm there, so I'm going to read it. What shall we say then that Abraham our father is pertaining to the flesh is found? For if Abraham were justified by works, he hath whereof the glory, but not before God. In other words, if Abraham's going to get to heaven based on his good works, and he gets to heaven, he can brag to everybody, even brag to God and brag to Jesus, that he was so wonderful and he was so good, and that's the reason that he is in heaven today. The Bible says, as you continue to read, for what saith the Scripture, Abraham believed God, and it was counted unto him righteousness. He was justified because of his faith in God, not because of his works. The Bible says, but not to him that worketh not, but believeth on him that justifieth the ungodly, his faith is counted for righteousness. So you can't be, Abraham wasn't justified by his works. He wasn't justified by ordinances. As you read verse number 9, it says, cometh this blessedness then upon the circumcision only, or upon the uncircumcision also. We say that faith was reckoned to Abraham for righteousness. Now, what is explaining, you can go through read, it says Abraham made right with God based on him being circumcised or falling in that ordinance. Listen, ordinances don't get you into heaven. You can be baptized a dozen times and still yet die and go to hell. You can partake of the Lord's Supper and still yet die, go to hell. There's nothing a church does that dispenses grace. Listen, you can't do enough religious acts to get you into heaven. The Bible makes it very clear. You're not going to be put on God's nice list. You read in that same chapter, verse number 13, for the promise that he should be the heir of the world was not to Abraham, but his seed through the law. Well, in other words, Abraham keeping the Ten Commandments didn't get him into heaven. Now, you say, now, Brother Grant, why wasn't that? You're telling me that he was a lawbreaker? Well, every one of us is a lawbreaker. That's why the law come, to show us we come short of his glory. But let me just say this to you. The reason that the law didn't justify Abraham was because Abraham was before the law. Huh? That couldn't save him. Listen, he was justified by faith through grace. Anybody that's ever got saved has been by the grace of God. God didn't say, I'll save you this way back here, and this way here, and out yonder in the future, I'll save you a different way. I want to tell you, it's by faith, it's through faith by grace, period. That's the only way anybody's going to get in heaven. Believe God and count it unto him as righteousness, the Bible says, before he was ever circumcised, before the law, his good works didn't get him there. In fact, you'll find Abraham, he had many flaws, but yet he believed God. Romans 11:6 makes it very clear to all of us that it can't be a mixture of the two. You see, a lot of people think, well, if I have 99% good works and only 1% bad, then I'll get to heaven. A lot of people think, well, it's 99% grace plus 1% works. It don't work that way. It don't work that way. See, the Bible says in Romans 11:6, it says, and if by grace, then it's no more works. And if it be otherwise, grace is no more grace, but if it be of works, then it's no more of grace. Otherwise, work is no more work. You see, it's not a mixture of the two. It's either grace or it's works. And the Bible throughout the book of Romans makes it very, very clear to every single person that I read it that our works will never make us fitting for the presence of God. You see, it'll never bring salvation. Now, the Bible makes it, you know, even some accuse Paul. They said, well, if you're saying it's by grace, are you saying that we may continue in sin that grace may abound? And Paul asked that hypothetical question, and he said, God forbid. You see, someone's experienced the grace of God, it changes their life. Changes their life. Changes what they do and what they, how they act and think. And so, let me say this. Not only could good works never get you on God's nice list, but good works can never atone for bad. Now, I said that somewhat, a little bit, and I'll kind of hurry this up. But look at Revelation chapter number 20. Revelation chapter 20. You'll find, starting about verse number 11, the Bible says, and I saw a great white throne, and him that sat on it, whose face the earth and the heavens fled away, there's found no place for them. Now, let me just tell you what's happened here. You'll find that as you begin to read scriptures, that the tribulation has come. God's people have triumphed after the thousand-year reign, and now there's a judgment that's come upon those that have rejected God. The Bible tells us in verse number 11 that there was a great white throne and him that sat on it, whose face the earth and the heavens fled away, and there was found no place for them. Now, this is a great white throne judgment. Now, there's the judgment seat of Christ, and believers will stand at the judgment seat of Christ to be rewarded for the things they've done in their service and their faithfulness to the Lord Jesus. But those people are being rewarded for what they've done for the Lord Jesus. These people, the great white throne, it's not a general judgment. It's not a general judgment. It's not a judgment to see that this one here was saved and this one was lost. They're checking. This one was saved, so he gets going to heaven. This one was lost, so he goes to the lake of fire. Not saying, well, this one here, look, his name's not here, but look at all the good works he done. You'll find everybody at the great white throne judgment is cast into the lake of fire. Now you say, why was they being judged then? Why would God judge them and cast the lake of fire? Do you realize, you study Scripture, God's going to judge more harsh those that have sinned wickedly than He is those that have just maybe lived a good moral life, not been an evil person per se, in our estimation, but still yet died lost. Now, I'm saying to you, they're lost, they're going to go to hell, but their punishment is not going to be as severe in hell. Here's simple truth. Hell is going to be harder for some folks because God's a just God. And you remember there's some that Jesus said He knew His Lord's will, and he'd done it, he'll be beaten with many stripes. And here was another one. He didn't know the Lord's will, but he still yet did things committed that was worthy of stripes, shall be beaten with few stripes. Hell's still going to be hot. But I tell you what, I pity those that have heard the gospel over and over and had opportunity over and over again to be saved. Now listen, if I was to die and go to hell, I'd rather die and go to hell somewhere in Africa where they wasn't a church on every corner, as to die in Garrett County, Kentucky, where there's preachers and Christians, there's been witnesses, and there's people out there telling you the need of salvation. Hell will be hot for those that's had more opportunity. Hell will be more hot for those who've had lived more wicked lives and rejected the truth of the Word of God than those that didn't live so wicked. Now you say, preacher, what are you saying? I'm saying this right here. You'll find this passage. The dead, small and great, stood before God. The books were open, which I believe was the 66 books of the Bible. Another book was open, which is the book of life. The Bible says, and the dead were judged out of those things that was written in the books. You know, the Bible is 66 books. Amen? The Bible tells us here, hey, they were judged according to their works. Now, none of these people. Keep reading. And the sea gave up the dead which were in it, and death and hell delivered up the dead which were in them. And they were judged, every man, according to their works, and death and hell were cast into the lake of fire. And this is the second death. And whosoever was not found written in the book of life was cast in the lake of fire. There'll be no mistakes on that day. There'll be no, well, you know what? He did better than I thought he'd done. Listen, your name is either in the Lamb's book of life or it's not. You see, it's no, I hope to get back on the naughty, on the nice list by doing better next year. Listen, I got news for you. If you try to get on God's nice list, you're going to fail. You're going to fail. May I say to you, good works cannot be nullified by bad either. And what a blessing that is. You see, one of the mistakes with people with that logic is that, well, listen, I've been real good, but I've made some mistakes. I'm probably on Santa's naughty list. Listen to me, I got news for you. If you're one of God's children, truly been saved by the grace of God, experienced the grace of God. I've had people come and say, you Baptists believe you can get saved, live however you want to, and still go to heaven. I've never heard a Baptist preacher preach that in my life. I've never heard it. But I'll tell you what I will tell people. If you're saved, He's changed. You truly got saved. You're one of God's children. You get online, He'll wear you out. You just read the book of Hebrews. See what happens to one of God's children that gets out of line. The Bible said if you don't receive chastening from the Lord, you're a bastard and not a son. Man, I want to tell you what, we better get back to realizing that God takes care. He will discipline His own. He will do it. He'll get your attention. You believe that? Somebody said, well, what if God was getting your attention and you died? Man, I'm telling you, that's pretty severe punishment right there. Amen? Come on. You say you believe God? Listen, I believe sometimes the people that know the Lord walk on and do however they want to and rebel against God's will, and they've been saved, I believe God will even take them out of this life. You say, now, Brother Grant, I believe God has a way of getting people's attention. You see, God's people, we can sin, but we'll not sin successfully. Now, here's what I believe. God's works, good works, rather, can't be nullified by bad. And let me just say this to you. The reason we celebrate Christmas is because God sent His Son into this world. He sent Him in here wrapped in human flesh. And we're not to just worship a babe in a manger. I see some of the nativity scenes, and I'm not against them. But I'm against them when people start worshiping that rather than thinking about the message of Christmas. I got news for you. Who they went to see in Bethlehem was Christ the Lord. They went to see a Savior. That Savior was what lived life, perfection, lived a life that was not just an example. It was a model, we could say. But I want you to understand, that wasn't the reason He came. The reason He came was to die in my place. He didn't come to this earth to live. He didn't come to be an example. He came to die. He came as the Lamb of God to take away the sin of the world. And so, I want you to understand, there He was on an old rugged cross, but He's not there on a cross either. See, people wear little crucifixes, and they see Jesus on there. And that, you know, maybe that does something for you, but the Savior I serve is not on a cross. He's not in a grave. I want you to understand the Savior I serve is a risen Lord. And if you'll put your faith in that tonight, as sure as I stand here, heaven can be your home. Now I'm going to close this. Heard a story about a little boy. Always wanted to go to the circus. One day he was walking down the street and he saw a poster in a store window. The poster said the circus was coming to town and the ticket to the circus cost $5. The boy, he ran home and he asked his daddy if he'd give him $5 to go to the circus. And his daddy said, listen, I'm not giving you $5 to go to the circus. He said, but here's what you do. If you do these chores this week, when Saturday rolls around, if you have them all done, I'll give you $5. Well, that week, that little boy did everything his daddy told him to do, and his daddy gave him $5 at the end of the week. And that Saturday morning, he was so excited, he got up early, he ran out the door, and he got there so early, ran to the town, and when he got to the town, he saw it was filled with excitement. He saw a bunch of wild animals, those trapeze artists, and all the things that come with the circus. He was standing there, and he was so early, he had a front row view to the circus parade as it passed down Main Street. The circus parade that passed down Main Street. The boy saw all the animals, the lions, the tigers, the elephants, as they paraded by. And when the parade come to a close, here come the clowns, here come the ringmaster as it come by. And when the ringmaster passed by where the little boy was standing, he ran out in the street. He took the $5 from his pocket. He handed it to the ringmaster. And he said, thanks, mister. That was a wonderful circus. And he turned around and went home. You see, he never really knew what he had missed. He thought he'd been to the circus, but he'd only been to the parade. Now, if we're not careful, we'll miss the whole message of Christmas because we'll get caught up in lights, we'll get caught up in Christmas trees and gifts and running and the stress and all this stuff, having fun and eating and having people over, that we'll get so caught up in that stuff that we'll miss the message of Christmas. And I don't want you to miss the message of Christmas. The message is this, that God sent His Son in the world to die for you. If you miss that, you've missed it all. Father, thank You for the Word of God. Thank You for this time to stand here tonight. I pray that You would bless this message. I pray that You would challenge our hearts, help us to have correct thinking about who God is. Lord, I'm thankful that there's not a naughty and nice list, because there's not enough things that I could ever do to make up for the wrong that I've done. God, I'm thankful for Your grace that was merciful to me. God, I want to praise You and thank You so much for Your goodness. Lord, we love You. Lord, we praise You. In Jesus' name, amen. Let's all